Hebron. So the Medrash finds it difficult to understand the opening pasuk in Vayetze. At the end of Toldos, it says that Yitzchak and Rivka requested of Yaakov that he should go to Aram Padnaram in order to find a girl from their family, and it says Vayetze Yitzchak and Beersheba. What was he doing in Beersheba? He should have been in, she said, Vayetze Yitzchak and Beersheba in Kiryat Arba. So the Medrash has different pshatim over here. One interpretation of how the Medrash was, but one Rashi at the end of Parshas told us that the Gemara Megillah, that Yaakov Avinu was Gnostic for 14 years to learn in the yeshiva before he went to marry his, before he went to look for the Shiva. The Gemara has a Shaila Kiddush. When a person has two obligations, he has to learn Torah and he has to get married. So which should he take care of first? The Gemara says, hold on the halacha. Sometimes you have to get married first and then learn. Sometimes you have to learn first and get married. So whatever the compromise is, different interpretations there, Rashi and Tosfos, apparently the way the Medrash understands, Yaakov felt that he has to learn first before he goes to get married. So the Medrash says, and Rashi gives you the whole calculation. At the end of Toldos, that he went to learn 14 years before he went to find the Shiva. And that yeshiva was in Beersheba. Yeshiva Shem Yeva was in Beersheba. That's what one suggestion is from the Medrash. Vayeti Yaakov in Beersheba, after he was learning for 14 years, then Vayelech Harana. That's one suggestion. The other opinion in the Medrash, all the Midrashim seems to hold, or at least both Midrashim seem to hold that he learned in Yeshiva Shem Yeva for 14 years. But the other Medrash understands Vayishkaba Malkom Hahu, that he went to sleep that night, and for 14 years following he didn't sleep. It's a little unclear which Yishkaba Malach Mahu is a meal. That he slept that night, but for 14 years in the yeshiva he didn't sleep. He was learning by day and by night. He didn't really enjoy sleeping. He didn't really sleep that much. So when was that, later or earlier? It's a little unclear. But that's why there's another interpretation in the Medrash. That it doesn't mean that anything told us in Vayetze in Haftaka 14 years, no, that's not what the Mashmaris is. But rather that in Beersheba, there was a Tamachim Yuchad, that's how the Mephoshim understand on the matter. There was a Tamachim Yuchad Lutzvila that Avraham and Yitzchak used to go there when they wanted to govern. So Yaakov also felt that he better go to Beersheba to be Mitzvah. How did Medrash get such an Einfah? Because earlier it says that he wrote Boris, and there was a famine, so Yitzchak, how did it say? When the original dog was, I think Avraham Avinu went to Beersheba on his way to leave. The Pashat Shach was he went to Beersheba on his way to leave Eretz Yisrael. No, that was away from the center. He wasn't, he went from Hebron where he lived to Beersheba on his way to leave Eretz Yisrael. So he was Mispalat HaKadosh Baruch from Beersheba on his way leaving. So the Medrash understands that there's differently, that there was a Mokam Yuchad L'Tzil on Beersheba, so the others were being espoused. So Yaakov also went to Beersheba, from Hebron, he went to Beersheba, being espoused to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to ask whether he should leave Eretz Yisrael or not. His parents suggested he should leave, and look for a Shidduch, so he went to be espoused to ask what's going to be. Vayishkab HaMokhoim, the Torah Zimra quotes from the Gemara and Brachos, the Gemara had, the Chachamah had a tradition that appears in many different Midrashim that they always were Mitzak in the three different Tfilas. Avraham Avinu was Mitzak in Shachris, and Yitzchak was Mitzak in Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu was Mitzak in Maariv. The Rambam also quotes that tradition. And then for Shmolochim, the Rambam gives you the history of the Mitzvah HaTorah. So he says that Marishim was Mitzvah on six Mitzvahs, and Noach was given an additional Mitzvah of Eid Merachai, because he wasn't, or the Mishnah wasn't committed to eat meat, so there wasn't anything to discuss about Eid Menachem. And so that constituted the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and then Avraham Avinu was given another mitzvah, and he instituted Shachris. Rambam is quoting from the Medrash, and Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, and he instituted Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Gidah Nosh, and he instituted Ma'ariv. So the Chachamim had the tradition on these parts, Vayim Zabba Mokoyim, Vayiv Gaba Mokoyim is a very strange construction. It says, Vayagi Ala Mokoyim, it says, word Mokoyim means the place, You don't say Vayivka. Vayivka means when you meet some person or something. But not when you meet a spot with a geographic location. James Loshin says Vayivka Bamokha. Vayagia Lamokha. So that's why the Chachalim understood that Amokha is Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom Mekom Shalom, Main Ha'olam Mekomo. And Vayivka Bamokha means he's Paleh Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayivka Bamokha. The Pasuk Pshat is not so. Vayivka Bamokha Vayol and Shalom. Obviously, it's referring to a place, but the fact that the construction, the verb that's chosen is such an awkward one, it doesn't compare to the way it's written in other places in Tanakh. That's why the Chacham understood that there's an additional meaning over here. But it could have not meant that he davened with Nisparo Myra. The problem is, when was he davening Myra? It sounds like it was before the Shkia. Bayol and Sham, Ivoah Hashemesh. He slept over there because it was after Shia. So when did he get married? Vayivkah Bamokom is also after Shia. He got married before Shia. That's the question. But some of the Rishonim talk about this. The Balei HaSeis talk about this. They say that the Mokom to Rabbi Yehuda Shia. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can get married after Plaga Mincha. You can only get Mincha up until Plaga Mincha. You can begin to get married after Plaga Mincha. So the Rishonim say, I'm Mokom to Rabbi Yehuda Shia. Rishonim, but we don't, the Gemara says it's unclear. How we should pass them. Gemara says there's no achro. Gemara says they leave this as an option. The other Kimara or the other Kimara. You want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, that's acceptable. You want to follow the Rabbanan, that's acceptable. What do you do according to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan hold that it's if you dab mincha up until Shkia, but if you dab mincha up until Shkia, the Pashup Shat is that you can't dab mar until after the Shkia. So how come it sounds like you dab in the Pashup Shat the Pashup is, but you've got a lot of it, you say that that's referring to davening. Pashup Shat is davening before the Shkia. Unless it's a mocha, it's just making sure. Making sure it's go well. Making sure right there on Rosh Hashanah, the Mishtapina, he wouldn't be afraid that they'll stone him. He would say, Pshat, that why did the Gemara say that Tzivos Arvus is in Shus, that Shachar is in Mincha, you're obligated to daven, the Tam Takan of Chacham. And Tzivos Arvus is in Achweki Tzatanarim, and Lahalocha, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Tzivos Arvus is Shus, it's only optional. But if you point out, the name of the Baal HaLoch is Gedolah, that if Manazek Pasha, you are like Chayit, if Manazek Pasha has already accepted it as an obligation. So the question is, why should there be a difference? That's what the Torah Mina discusses. Why should there be a difference between Shachris and Mincha Ber HaChayit as opposed to other pitches and shoes? So the Mishayim say why, Pasha Pshadet, Tzivos Shachris is Kenegat HaMishol Shachas, Tzivos Mincha is Kenegat HaMishol Ber HaBayim. Tzivos Arvus is connected Hekta Chalov and Deivor. Hekta Chalov and Deivor is not Yaakov. If you bring a cousin in the Beit HaMikdash, the thing that's Yaakov is Zvika Sadam. The Zavar Abba Eber Sadam. Zvika Kabbalah, Halacha or Zvika. If you finish the Halacha, Zvika Kabbalah, Halacha or Zvika. If you finish the Zavar Abba Eber Sadam, so everything else is Lachabchilas, the Mitzvah Mishmanyut, that is all the Abba Eber. But if you left out the Ahtar HaSeim Murim, Hekta Chalov and Deivorim, then you have a problem with the Kashi. So the Kashi says, that's like Tzivos Arvus, Rishus, not an Ahtar HaMikdash. Including today the Hekta Chalom Eivori, which is it's not a Rishus, it's not Hekta Chalom Eivori, it's a Rishus. It's also a Mitzvah, and if you don't do it, you haven't fulfilled the Mitzvah, but still, it's not Ma'akib Eliezer in the Hakrovat Hakrovat. So the same Yeshua has this Kiddush on Drapa, so he says, well, when do you do Hekta Chalom Eivori? Do all day long? If you do Hekta Chalom Eivori all day long? So he says, let's say you've got Mincha today, he's 12:16. You can have Marv, right? You can do the Hekta Chalom Marv right away. You can't say Shemdvar Marv HaRavim. You can't say the Bichas Kriyashma. Kriyashma, you can't say. That has to be the Shach B'chol Kumnecho. That has to be the Zman Shtivim. When is the Zman, and the Bichas Kriyashma has to be together with Kriyashma. When is the Zman of Tilos Marv? When is the Zman of Davin Shman Esra Marv? After you finish Mincha, you have your Tilu, you offer your Tavish HaShachar, you offer your Tavish HaBein HaBayim. So now it's time to take care of all the half-tarot thing. We're in love with Thomas Hashach and Thomas Hashach. So he says he doesn't see why the Rishonim, all the Rishonim have this hang-up. He considers it. All the Rishonim have this hang-up that the Zman of Ma'ariv only begins after the Zman of Mincha is over. If there's really the Mishtapina, if he weren't afraid that the Rishonim was going to bop him over the head, he would have said otherwise, that the Zman of Ma'ariv can be Zman of Ma'ariv without the Bichas Kriyashma, without the Kriyashma. The Zman of Shmanesh Amar can be yours. Yes, our space of the Pasuk reads very well, according to the Yudah, it reads well enough, according to the Tzain Shua. The Shah says, behold, not like the Yudah, not like the Tzain Shua. Then how do you read the Pasuk? So, Mishka Tzala, if you say, Everything was after the Shkia. Before Hashem, everything was after the Shkia. The davening was after the Shkia, the going to sleep, everything was after the Shkia. Right. So it's after Kivu HaShemesh. Yeah, you can say that. No pause. You don't read Vayitam Amokam pause. He went to sleep because of sunset. No. Vayitam Amokam Vayolam Sham pause. Kivu HaShemesh, because the sun had set before he died in Myri. And then he died in Alagish Maresh. And it was very late. So it was Vayitakti Alayla. He went to sleep there. Yeah. Not necessarily, the whole thing is not necessarily mukhav, but the Bali Atesis took it like that. The Rishon Bali Atesis took it, Vayikam Amokim Kama, Vayolam Sham Kivu HaShem. They were davening before the Shema. The Gemara increases. Speaks about the Shemen HaMishko. The Gemara has a whole machlokes HaKaran. How do they make the Shemen HaMishko that you're supposed to use for the Moshech Malachim and the Kohan Gedolim and so on, the Tamidosh for the Kelim? So it says Shemen Mishcha Kodesh Yihi Yezeh Li Yedore Sefer. The word Zeh is the natural due date. So the Gemara says, the one time it says that the 12 Him, I think, it was talking of Shemin, but they used to make the Shemin Mishka. So the Medrash Rabba has the same commenting on the Pasuk. There, Sefer told the Sodom, in Parshas Bereishis, there is the Gematria of Yudai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally had a plan that he wanted to give the Torah to other Marishim. So it would have worked out, it would have been great. He wanted to give the Torah to other Marishim. That's how that I think we discussed on Parshas Bereishis, the Chofetz Chaim quotes from the Medrash, not from the Medrash, from the Sefer, from the Sefer. And the Pasuk, Li'ovdo B'Shomra, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Li'ovdo refers to whom it is said, the B'Shomra refers to whom it is said, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to give the Mitzvah the whole Torah to Adam Elisha. If he would have given the Torah to Adam Elisha, then he would have divided all of mankind into 12 Shvatim. It would have been Zeh. Zeh would have been 12 Shvatim. And then it didn't work out because he couldn't with the Tadas, and it didn't work out. And the Pasuk reads there, Medrash comments on the Pasuk there, Sefer told us of it. It's going to be the Yud Beis Shvatim there. It's going to be by the descendants of our nation. It's not going to be by Yadam himself. Uliyodam Oma, the Medrash comments on the Pasuk. Uliyodam Oma, ki shamati l'kalishtecho lo yodam. Uliyodam lo yodam, the Medrash says. The Yud Beis Shvatim are not going to be from Adam Elisha. It's interesting, we usually read the Chumash that sounds like Yaakov had 12 children. And no, it turned out to be the Yud Beis Shvatim. If he would have had 4 children, it would have been 4 Shvatim. He would have had 25 children. 4 wives, you can have a lot of children. Would have had 25 children, wouldn't have 25 children. So the Midrashim hold that it's not so. The Midrashim say that the plan, Mother Chatzilah, from Sheshis made Rashis, was there's going to be 12 children. The Pashup Shat means 12 different Jochim and Avodah Tashem. The Midrashim wanted Mother Chatzilah. Originally, he wanted that it should be by Yodam Arishan. And then, after the Chet of the Eight Tadas, he says, Uli Yodam, Mama, Lo Yodam. It's not going to be by you. It's going to be there, say, for Tolga Sodom. It's going to be by the descendants. Sometime in the future it's going to be body descendants. And then the Medrash comments on this topic, the different opinions. But he talked me Avni Hamokha, and the Medrash understands that he took a few stones. So the Gemara also has a full one. He took a few stones. How many stones? The one thing in the Medrash is that he took 12. And he said, if they're all going to blend in together, if they're all melting, the stones are melting and blending together to be one, then he will be there for himself, he'll be there for the Yud Beis Shvatim. If they won't blend them together, then there's going to be someone later in history of Kali Sol is going to have, he's going to be Mam of Yud Beis Shvatim. What does that mean? So this needs to be a hemshah from the other Medrash. That Medrash in Parshas Bereishis on the part of the Zeh for Tol Tzadik. Let it be Matra of Yud Beis. The Medrash says, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to have the Yud Beis Shvatim from the very beginning. But then when Chaim killed Hevel,
The Baruch Shalom said, what? He had two lousy children, and one of them killed the other. He's going to have 12 children, they're not going to blend in together. You want to have Yud-Bei Shoten have to live in peace and harmony together? If you're going to kill each other, it's impossible to have Yud-Bei Shoten. But that wasn't shot. So then when Avraham Avinu came on the scene, he had an opportunity to have Yud-Bei Shoten, because all this didn't work out. They didn't get along. The children didn't get along. Then Yitzchak had two children. They also didn't get along. They hated. He says, hey, this is Yaakov, it wasn't Shai, because that's what Yaakov said. They all understood from the days of Adam Arishan, they were told that Adam Arishan is not going to have the Yud-Bei Shvatim because Kain killed people and they can't live in peace and harmony. Yud-Bei Shvatim, the 12 different Shvatim and Avodas Hashem have to be people or sheepers that get along in peace together. In fact, one of the Darshanim writes on the Tosfos, in the beginning of Toldot, when Rivka is pregnant, so he throws it to Habon and the Kirma, but then he came, Loma Zeh and Ophi, Medrash doesn't comment on that Zeh. Medrash comments on the Zeh and the Resh of the Sefer told the son to one of the Darshanim in Europe wrote such a comment in a Drush Sefer. Loma Zeh and Ophi, that she saw right away she's not going to be Zeh to have the Yud-Bei Shvatim. So she sees already in pregnancy that her children don't get along together. And Habon and Shom said, if they don't get along, it's not Shai that you should have Yud-Bei Shvatim. But that's what Yaakov said, if the Avonim will blend them together, that will be a kingdom of God, that the children will live in peace and harmony. Basically, it wasn't so much peace and harmony by his children either, they told Yosef. But basically, a little bit of brotherly love excuse. But basically, they got along together. Basically, they loved each other. But then he felt that he would be there, and then he was there. And the Russian said to say that the more he lived in his order, it's under Yud-Bei Shvatim. And making calculations, who's going to have which child and so on. Who's going to have how many children? It's not the way you read the superficial mashmos of the psukim. It sounds like the union of Yud-Bei Shvatim is just coincidental. It happens to turn out like that. It had to. You had four wives, and each wife had so many children. Each one did have a child. Didn't have a child. It turned out to be Yud-Bei Shvatim. So he was rushing on the king, and it wasn't for them. This was a plea. From Sheshit may Bereshit. So the Rebbe Shalom wanted that Yud-Bei Drachim and Avodas Hashem. Yaakov Avinu had his dream about the Tula Musa Varsa. Very unclear. What is the dream supposed to represent? The Malachim going up and down. So the Midrashim have different interpretations. One of the Midrashim that has become more popular these days, not the Medrash Rabbah, but this is Medrash. I think the Alfred Shimoni calls it that the Malachi Alekim, all of the earth and bow, represents the story of Ha'umah, the whole of the Umah story. Why they all in the earth and bow? We should usually visualize Malachi and angels as if their normal place of habitation is in heaven. So if you had a dream about a ladder connecting heaven and the earth, you should see angels coming from heaven to the earth and then going back where they came from. Why the angels going from the earth up to heaven and then coming back down? What the angels live on the earth? That's what the Medrash is bothered with. So there are different explanations. So some say, yeah, wherever the tzaddik is, that's where the angels are. That's the main, that's heaven. Wherever the tzaddik sits, that's the Mizrachan. He doesn't have to sit on the front. Wherever he sits, that's the Makam Achim Akubah. So the Malachim are always hanging around the big tzaddik. So it's actually when Yaakov Avinu was walking on the highway, and he's traveling on the highway, all the Malachim was going with him. But the Medrash has a discussion of this. So they have different interpretations. The one interpretation is that the Malachim represents the story of Olam HaYuma, Olam HaYorgim represents the rise and fall of every nation. You can write a book about that, the rise and fall of this empire, the rise and fall of that empire, every in the history of the world. Every empire has a rise and fall. And then the Medrash continues and says, Hinei Hashem Yitzavol HaYoymar, Ani Hashem Lakei Yavram Avicha, etc. Because it's all for promises. Yaakov Avinu here and after Yimach, Hishmaticha B'chol Asher Telech, I'm going to protect you. And then he says to Yaakov Avinu, okay, it's your turn, you go up the ladder of success. He says, no, they're all going up and going down. I don't want to go up, I'm going to go up, I'm also going down. The Rebbe Shalom promises him, no, you go up, you're not going to go down. While he tells them, I'm going to go up. All the other nations of the world, Atacha Shlita, Satachal, Namazolus, is a cloud of history, the other nation goes up and goes down, reaches its peak. Every civilization, every culture reaches this peak of development and then it collapses, move like New York City, the state of collapse. The United States, the state of collapse. It reached its peak and it's gone down. All good things have to come to an end. And the Rebbe Shalom said that Klal Yisrael is not going to go down. The Yaakov Avinu was afraid, so the Medrash says that he gets punished because the Rebbe Shalom promised him, don't worry, I'm going to go with you.
And you're going to go up and keep on going up. You're not going to go down. So because he was frightened, he didn't trust that Ibn Shalom was promised. So that's why the Medrash says he was punished. Yeah, when you have, when the Jews have their own government in the Medina Israel, now it's Israel, so they have to realize that they shouldn't do things that are irrational. They should be concerned about what all the nations of the world are interested in doing, wiping out the Eretz Yisrael, killing all Jews. So they should have a little more bitachon than Ibn Shalom, that he's been helping them for so many years, he will continue to help them. This is one of the many interpretations that the Medrash has on this Sulam. The Medrash Rabbah, the gracious Rabbah on the Sulam, has different interpretations. It doesn't have this one about all the Malachim represent the story of Ha'uma. It has a different shot. That the Sulam represents a thing that you can go up and go down. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says that what he does now, Medrash has on this passage that famous comment, the Matroniki, yes, one of the Tanoim, the Baruch Shalom, how many days did the Baruch Shalom create the world? 6 days. And then he said, after the 6 days, what does he do? He's in retirement now, he doesn't do anything. So he says, now he does Shidduchim. Now the Baruch Shalom does Shidduchim. So that Medrash is over here, that the Shidduch, like contrast between Yitzchok Shidduch and Yankov Shidduch. Sometimes the boy has to travel to the other end of the world to meet the girl. Sometimes the girl travels from the other end of the girl world to meet the boy. Sometimes they're around the corner from each other. Different iconics. And then the Medrash has another suggestion that when the another version of the same story, when this Matrinik says to Tana, what does the Varsham do since Shesh is made gracious? That he says he has a ladder of success and he takes some of the people from on top and he sends them down to the bottom, some of the people on bottom send them on top. He keeps on oil of the oil. That was the Chaloyim over here. That any gedula that anybody has is all me'eis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives people gedula, sometimes he takes away the gedula. And sometimes he takes away the gedula only temporarily, l'tayvasei, of the person, like over here. Yaakov, where he lived in Eretz Yisrael with his father Yitzchak, was b'chvod Shel Olam. They were very wealthy, the Medrash says, and they had all the kavod in the world, and then he had to go travel to Chutzlars to find the shidduch. So he was a nobody, he went penniless. The Machli Abati Bayayim Azay had nothing. And nothing when he went to Choron. So he lost all of his cover, he lost all of his Gdula, and other people are right with the Gdula in order to get a ship. All the Ninyanim of Gdula Amin HaShemayim, all the covers that a person gets, the Gemara has like that. Shinchu Yisroelucha Ben Temple Yoshivuchum Shaloch Yis Meloch. The Gemara in Yuma has like that. Chazanish writes in his Kuntris, I'm going to be talking about that statement, that the Gemara has that, the Yisrael HaYitarim, of our Amunah of Bitochen, that we believe that everything is the Yodosh or Kodosh. Doesn't mean we don't have clear functions. Every person has clear functions, for sure. But let that person does what he's supposed to do, and then he doesn't succeed in life. He gets a miserable shidduch, and he never makes a good panosa, and his children are sick, he doesn't have any children, whatever. He leads a miserable life. Everything goes bad for him. So that you shouldn't think that this is all accidental. You have a kash of Tzadik Meralo, you have a kash of Rosh HaBetovlo. The Gemara says, the Shimcha Yikro, to have a file cabinet in heaven, to give every person what he deserves, to give you what's your chelik, and not going to give you somebody else's chelik. You can't take away the COVID or the panos or the shidduch. Let's say I was about to get engaged to this girl, and another guy came in and he ruined my shidduch, and he chaptized the girl. So you shouldn't think that that's what happened. No, it's not so. The Min HaShemayim, they wouldn't allow that to happen. If this was the girl who was the Yuedis to you, Min HaShemayim, it wouldn't happen. If that's the panasa, the cover that you deserve, then Hashem, they wouldn't allow anybody else to take it away. Ain't on the Geb Muchama Chaber, ain't Malchus Nagas, the cover that people can lay me. And Hashem, all the cover and all the gedula is determined. People in life have a lot of hang-ups about that. The Gemara asked that question. The Gemara says, I take tefila sometimes. The person davens very hard, so then sometimes he can break the gzeira. But has to the tefila can break the gzeira if there's a reason why I deserve to lose. Let's say I'm supposed to get this wonderful shidduch, I'm supposed to get this wonderful job, but there is a little hitch, there is a little question whether I really deserve it or not. Maybe yeah, maybe no, and probably yes. So then if the other people will be misfollowed, so then sometimes I get tefila that can be changed. But it's not that I feel that something's going to be changed and I'm going to lose something that I absolutely deserve in no two ways about it. No, the person is not going to listen to someone's plea on it. That there's reason to take something away from it. So that's how that's one interpretation. So Sosin, the dreamer, so Sosin. That's one of the interpretations that the Medrash has. That this is the Sulam of the ladder of success. That's why people, the English phrase comes from this Medrash. The Sulam, with the fact to represent the ladder of success. That some people are Reilu Megdula, that some people are Yerit Megdula, and all of this is Min HaShemayim. The Medrash has another interpretation. Rashi quotes that Medrash. Rashi quotes some of the Medrash, but doesn't quote all. Malachim, Malachim is cut off the shmocha b'chol d'rachecha, so the Zohar sends Malachim to protect all of the tzaddikim. So when Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Yisrael, he had one type of Malachim taking care of him. And then when he was about to leave the Chutzal Aretz, then Chutzal Aretz was led Hashgacha Prozis. The Gemara says in the end of Sukkot, what do you mean he told him to worship Baba Yisrael? The Gemara says, no. What does it mean? Because there's no Hashgacha Prozis. That's what the Torah says. There's more Hashgacha Prozis in both directions. If a person sneezes and does a slight Avera, they'll be punished more than if he would have done the Avera far away. Rambam explains in Sefer Mitzvot that Eretz Yisrael is a palki shamela. Let's say a person curses out the President of the United States here in Yeshiva. That's an Aver. Where the mouth is, that's an Aver. But if you curse out the President in the White House, in front of the President, that's a bigger Aver than where the mouth is. The palki shamela. And he's not a President of the United States, it's a king. Mishkan President. It's not a democracy. It's a kingdom Tavad. It's a bigger Aver. So that's what Eretz Yisrael is described by the Midrashim as a palki shamela. This, whatever that means, this is more of a Hashrat Hashkin and Eretz Yisrael than a Chutzlar. The Chumash says, whatever that means, that there's more Hashgacha Prozis than Eretz Yisrael. Both in both directions. That the Malachim, that there'll be more protection for the Tzaddikim, the Teva, and the Ra also. If a person does a slight little Avera, he will be punished more if he does it in Eretz Yisrael than if he does it in a Chutzlar. Every Avera that's done in Eretz Yisrael, every Avera that a person ever does is an act of more than Malchus. But the Shvach is Malchus Shalom. The person is more than Malkutha Yisbarach. The Avera is done in Eretz Yisrael, so that's considered to be the more than Malkutha in front of the, in the Palkin Shamela. The Gemara in the end of Brachas tells us about Rav Yehuda of Yamir, I think. Rav Yehuda, one of the Talmidim, I forgot already. The Gemara in the last second Brachas says that someone wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he was wondering whether he can go or not, and then he had a cholam. In the last second Brachas, the Gemara has all kinds of cholam. He had a chalayim when he saw barley, I think in his chalayim, the holy. And if you see barley, I wouldn't even know what barley looked like. He saw the barley, so the seorim is representative of the fact that so avonis have a chatos for tukupa. That is, the seorim implies that his avonis were removed. Oh, his avonis were removed, so then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go to Eretz Yisrael until he heard that his avonis were removed. So in the portion that is on his hand, that's what it means. That if a person is a Baal Aver, he better not go to Eretz Yisrael because he'll be punished more for his Aver. And that's how he has come hard. Eretz Yisrael will vomit out the people who are Baal Aver, throw them out. And if the person is, Eretz Yisrael has a certain tolerance level, slight Aver, so like you say. And major Aver is that's really out. He has this column that his major Aver is disappeared. So that's when he went to Eretz Yisrael. So the Shulchan tells Yaakov Avinu in the dream, this land that you're laying on, that you're sleeping on, this is going to be given to you. That's wonderful. Such a little piece of how big you a bed, the size of a bed. So that's why Rashi quotes in the Medrash. No. The Gemara says, and the Medrash says, keep him up, but his brother called Eretz Yisrael Tachtov. In his dream, he visualizes as if he was laying down over the whole Eretz Yisrael, as if all of Eretz Yisrael had been folded up, and he was laying on top of everything. And on top of that, and after the Shabbat told him, what was that, a similar Zavah to Rashi quotes in the Gemara, Ramaz lo shetehinocha mikavish lebanach kedalar amish and zem mikavish alodam. It's just like Dalai Lama's is a very small area, so that's easy to conquer. Dalai Lama, so the whole of Eretz will be easy to conquer in the days of Yishuv Benun. Muhammad, that was wrong with Yishuv Benun Floyd. And the next Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him even more. For us, so Yomo Vakeimo Vesafon Vanekva. So what does that refer to? Chutzlor, that Eretz Yisrael, see Eretz Yisrael, that's his Pashke. The Chol HaRotis, that's the Pasuk in Chumash Dvorim, the end of Parashat Tekev. And Mokham HaShafid, Rachaf, Rav, Lachem, Bo, Lachem, Nisatid, etc. So the Ramban in that Pasuk, Kol Mokham, quotes from Mr. Shrey, that any place in Chutzlor, that the Jewish soldiers conquer on behalf of Eretz Yisrael, will also be in the Adlas of Dush HaTorah. But for the Zbog Lagirim, Stukim Yud Beit and Yud, Stukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dabur is telling Yankif Avinu two things. For Oret Hashem Kesherech of Allah L'chol Kenenu L'zareach, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, the whole of Eretz Yisrael. And then in addition to that, over and above, Farashta Yom HaVakeidmo Neitzav Al-Kach. He's going to be such a thing. That wasn't Neitzav Al-Kavish. That he didn't give him, he didn't fold every, he didn't fold up the whole globe under Yankif Avinu. He only folded up in his column. He only saw the way Eretz Yisrael was folded up. That that's going to be Neitzav Al-Kavish. And to the rest of the world, he was given such a Haftoch. That's called Nachlas Yaakov Yirush. Yankov Avinu says later, Birchas Avichal Gavra Birchas Tayrai. Atavis Yivetar. The Rashi says, what does that mean? He tells his children, the brachas that I was given exceeded the brachas that my parents were given. Avram and Yitzchok were never given a bracha parat Tayyam of Akedma with the son of an egg. They weren't given the bracha that I see Eretz Tashat Tashat B'chol Aras. They were only given Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu was given Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchok was given. Yankov was given. But then Yankov was given Neisaf Al-Kach was given a parat Tayyam of Akedma. That's B'chol HaRot, that's what Rashi says, and I tell you, B'chol HaRot, B'chol HaRot, B'chol HaRot, how does Kiva Tzaybam to the four corners of the earth? That's the question, whether that's exactly accurate to the four corners of the earth. I remember when we were learning, in the yeshiva, we were learning Mishnah Yitzkala, that our Soloveitchik was asking, you mean to say that if I bought a home, he bought his home in Boston, you mean to say if I bought a home in Boston, that the machlokes in the Gemara, whether kibush yachid make kibush or not. According to one opinion, it sounds like kibush yachid, that if a private person is kodesh any area, that also could be endowed with the kibush territory. So he said, you mean to say that if I bought a house, kibush has to be with a war? What do you mean a war? And if you buy a JNF bought up the name and it's not called kibush, normal kibush. As we got here with bloodshed and peace. If you pay money, you shmir. It's better, it's easier. Why do you have to kill people? Why do you have to have a war? So he said, how can it be if you say Kibush Yachish make Kibush? I bought a house in Boston, it has a Kibush Yachish. Sure. How can it be? You thought there's something strange over there. So the Gemara gives the answer. Taisus in the first Perek in Gittin gives an answer, but Taisus sounds like they're saying that's a point of the Mandam, the Kibush Yachish Lapsh make Kibush. That in order to apply this principle of Kol Mokom HaShetidroch Kach Raglachem, that you can give a Kibush Yachish to Arachus HaNosophos, to additional areas in Chutzlores, the Tyson says this only applies after you have already endowed all of Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. But before all of Eretz Yisrael is filled up with Kedusha, you cannot be Mekadosh HaRotz HaNetzel. It's just a Moshe L'mal Davadzeina. Let's say you're filling up a cup with water. So when you fill it up to the top and you keep on pouring, then it'll overflow. But if it's only half filled, then you pour in some more. There's not enough to overflow yet. So when all of Eretz Yisrael is filled up with Kedusha's Aretz, all of Eretz Yisrael is the Mishkusha, the Mishkusha, so then it's right to speak about Russell Sanatos of Israel. So Tracy says that that's going to mean Kibush Yochid, Lash Mei Kibush. What if your Kibush Yochid Mei Kibush? That you can't be Mekadesh, that you can't be Mekadesh at Russell Sanatos even before all of Eretz Yisrael was in Kaddish. So that's what Russell Tracy said. You need to say that if I buy a house in Boston, that the backyard, the house has Drusha Torah. That he thought that you have to, Lecholadesh, you have to add on another condition. That our Russell Sanatos only has an extension of Kedusha Torah if they're contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. It's touching, if the border is touching. Aram Sobol, the Dovid HaMelech was Kedush, was contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. They hadn't yet, in the days of Dovid HaMelech, they hadn't yet conquered all the territories of the Zvuba Torah, so it's described in the Chumash. So that's what Tzitzis quotes from Mr. Frey. That was the Chisar, and that's why it's called Kibush Yochid. Kibush Yochid means, according to Tzitzis, he was Kedush. And the Rambam also like that, he was Kedush, Aras, the son of Sofer, before the all of Eretz Yisrael was discarded. But if you don't keep yourself to Shnei Kibush, so that's not a concern of ours. That doesn't bother us. But this still does bother us.
It can only be Mekadosh HaRotzes on the surface if they're an extension of the of an area of the territory that has Kedushas HaAretz. North America, South America, it's not an extension of Eretz Yisrael. The only thing that can be extensions are the three continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. They're contiguous Eretz Yisrael. When you say Afid Eretz Yisrael, she's the Spash of B'chol HaAlam Kula, B'chol HaRotzes. It's B'chol HaRotzes of those three continents. The North Pole, South Pole, Australia, New Zealand, it doesn't touch Eretz Yisrael. Unless all the continents are going to move back. What? They're going to move back, they're all going to be touching each other, maybe. So that's what the Pesukim speak about. That's what the... Isn't that Pesukim? Not even like a Nachlas Yaakov Yiras, not just from his Yiras. But the Gemara says at the end of Shabbat, Sakan Tzuvim Shabbat Shuzi. The Gemara says, not Nachlas Agron, not Nachlas Yitzchak. We want Nachlas Yankiv. What's Nachlas Yankiv? Go there to Israel. No! That means Darat Panazo, for us, the Yom HaKedma, that was only given to Yankiv Avinu. That's what Rashi writes on that topic later. Birchas Avinu, Dovra Birchas Seirai. Atav is given Seirai. All the way. Even the Arot Tzanasan, that's what the Birchkirah pointed out. But that's without the Birchkirah pointing it out, it also says it. That's what it says in Rashi, that's what it says in the Gemara. Seems to imply that tzaddikim have more of a hasgacha process than beinonim. Hasgacha process is not b'shava on all people. Just like we assume that in Eretz Yisrael there's more hasgacha process than in Chutz La'aretz because people are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. That's a problem shel melech, whatever that means. So too, there's more hasgacha process on Klal Yisrael than there is on Umos HaOlam. And we think Klal Yisrael good for that, different madregos. There's more hasgacha process on the tzaddikim than there is on the Beinonim. Well, Hashgacha Pratis sometimes works out the Teva and sometimes works out the Roa. A great tzaddik is punished for a sneeze, if he does a sneeze wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik in tzaddikas kuchut ha-tzair, if he does a little thing. As Rabbeinu did some slight other, we're not even sure exactly what it is. There are Chaim HaKadosh and Chumash go through all the 10 sheetahs, and after Acharei Kechosh, okay, after all the 10 sheetahs, for sure you don't know what exactly the Aveira was. And if someone else would have done the Avera, whatever the Avera was, it probably wouldn't have been considered an Avera. Some doctor's dick out there. But that is part of the fact that he had more Hashgacha process than other people. The Gemara has a problem. If you're not permitted a Mishnah in Brooklyn, you're not permitted to be mispalled for a net. You're not allowed to be mispalled for a net. The Achrayim asked Kashis, he happened in Gemara Tainis, that on different occasions, people were Tanoim, Amram, they've been spouted off of this Baruch Hu from Eastern. So the Achrayim say, Anahanami, if a person is an unusual tzaddik, then he does have the right to be spouted from him. So the closer one is off of this Baruch Hu, so the closer off of this Baruch Hu will be to that person. And it's Nidla, yes, and it's Nidla, even another person, some people cannot be a tzaddik. And it's Nidla, an unusual tzaddik has the right to be involved, or on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Because the whole of Klal Yisrael is Lamaila Menatel. All the Klal Yisrael is close to top of his book. Yaakov Adinu wakes up in the morning, Ochel Yesh Hashem HaMakam Ezevanechi Lo Yadayti. What does it mean? If he would have known, he would have not gone to sleep. Shem Yadayti Lo Yashayti B'Makam Kodesh Gazeh. He would not have violated the Kedushas Beit HaKnesses, the Kedushas Beit HaMikdash, whatever it is. A person has to be medactic about the Kedushas Beit HaMedrash, Kedushas Beit HaKnesses, Kedushas Beit HaMikdash. When you have a Makam Kodesh, you have to be a Mechaber the Makam. In fact, one of the Rishon Lakish, the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaKotzik, Vayira Yankev Neder Leiva, he was Mekabel HaNeder, that the Neder was Torah Shetitim HaYacher HaShem Alok, the Neder was as a Kapora, he was Mekabel on himself and Einish for the Aveira that he had done B'Shegi. He had done an Aveira of sleeping in the Beit HaMikdash, the Mokam HaMikdash, it was B'Shegi, so the Rabbi Yehuda HaKotzik is quoted by the Panei Achroza, all the Balei HaPesach is also quoted. That the Vayira Yankev Neder Leiva was as a Kapora for this Aveira.
The Medrash understands differently. Vayir Yaakov Medrash, that it was a Medrash based story, that he was nervous about his brother Esau wants to kill him. They took a neder, Tachar Zohar, I'll make a deal with you. If you watch over me, if that person is sick, Rahman al-Islam, that person has difficulty finding a job, or finding a shidduch, whatever person has a difficulty learning, whatever is an eighth story, whatever the person is nervous about, then he doesn't come to Zohar, and he promises that if you'll help me, I'll make a deal, and I'll do something on your behalf. The Medrash says that we learn out from this pasuk, Vayir Yaakov neder, Leim Oledorah. Means that the neder of Yaakov is reported by the Torah here, the Torah Tzimah, quote this from the Torah Tzimah, from that base and base, and then the Medrash Rabbah, this pasuk. That it's a mitzvah, we go the eighth Torah. When a person is based Torah, and he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him out, so he should promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll make you a shutzer. That if you help me out from this Torah, I will give tzedakah, I will learn more, I will be more medactic in something. Yeah, in the column, yeah. That's strange. In the column, he saw that he was afraid to go up on the ladder. That's a good point. Yeah, the Gemara does say that some, usually the Gemara says, Birach Alayim et Lamala v'Lamarim. In some rare instances, a person should be concerned about what he's seeing in the dream. In rare instances, that question, how do you know which inyanim in the dream are do count and which inyanim don't count? It's a big problem. It says that when Yaakov finally came to Haran, came to a well, and the people said, the shepherd said they're from Haran, and he said, oh, how you died in this love on the Nohar, Vayomru Yodono. So the Ramban asked the question, he was love on the Nohar. His grandfather was Nohar. So why did he say love on the Nohar? But the Ramban says because his father was a good for nothing, he was had a bad reputation. And Nachar, his grandfather, had a better reputation. So that's why it's more of a common thing to speak of loving than Nachar, as opposed to loving than anything. So this Ramban is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It says, when you want to give a person an aliyah, and his father is known as an Adam Rasha, his father has a very bad reputation, and he's embarrassed that you should call him up Flaney Ben Flaney. They should always mention the name of the father. But his grandfather was a decent fellow, is or was a decent fellow. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on this Ramban, that you should call him up, Pliny Ben, his grandfather's name. If you do it in a ghetto, it says Shiloh would possible again. If you write Pliny Ben Pliny is divorcing his wife, Pliny is past Pliny, so that's a Shiloh. Some Rishonim said the Farish, that such a get would be fine. So there's a whole discussion. Why? Farish has it like that. Some Rishonim say, I think that's written in Paneach Raza, one of the Balei HaTeis is saying, he died from his love on Ben Nachor. He didn't. He said Mecharon Anochnu, and Mecharon was known as Ir Nachor. So he just says he died from his love on Ben Nachor. He didn't mean love on the grandson of Nachor. He would have said love on Ben Yisrael. No, he said, oh, you come from Choron. Do you know another guy from Ir Nachor? Love on. He didn't mean to say happened that love on happened to be the grandson of Nachor, but by identifying him, like you say. Then, like you say, some of the Rishi Rishalayim, or Rish Poland, or Rish Galicia, something like that. So he just said, love him Ben Nachar, not in the sense biologically a grandson of Nachar, he just meant love him from the same city. You say that you're from that city, you know love him. Some of Shem learned like that. Shalom, the next prophet quotes the passage from the Zohar. Hain od hayom gadol, lo ha'is ha'yaseif ha'mikneh, ha'shku ha'tzom, ha'luchu yehu. So the Shalom quotes a long passage from the Zohar. It comes from Rishonim. The Rishonim had a whole lot of tzarich or something. It had a tradition that somehow this section of the Chumash is alluding to the Yemois HaMashiach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the Bnei Yisrael. He says, lo, oh, hey, no, hayom gadol, the Golus is still going to be extended. Lo, Eisei Yosef HaMikness. Not yet time to bring Klal Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael. The Golus is going to take a little longer, so what you have to do is Hashku Asom, you should learn Torah. Everybody should learn Torah and be Nisom. Hashku Asom in the sense of Ein Mayim Ala Torah. So long Arichon Zvarim, I mean, the Rishonim have long Arichon on this theme, that the Rimazim of Yemos HaMashiach and Nitzhash. Medrash says that when Eliezer came with the camel to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak, and he asked if there's the room to sleep over, so they say yes. That says, "Umokam pinu lad malim." How does it say? Anochi piniti habayis and mokam lad malim. So Rashi quotes Anochi piniti habayis and avodah zarah. Rashi quotes in the Medrash in the beginning of Chayis Zarah. Anochi piniti habayis. Eliezer is not going to move into a house that's full of idols. He says, so he tells them, let's love them. Anochi piniti habayis and avodah zarah. How did the Medrash see that? That's also a question. How did the Medrash see that? And that's right. So the Bartanura has a commentary on Chumash and Rashi that's called Amar Nokok. Seminoki, Amar Nokok. He says before, in Hebrew you have a lot of words, sometimes there's a zohar and a kebah. So when a man speaks, the word should be ani. When a woman speaks, the word is anoki. How come he said, Amesha Pinisi Habayis, Lovam was a man, he wasn't a woman, so must be Ramesha Anoki Hashem Alakefa. The question exactly on the grammar over here. That's what he says. Whatever. He said, me that's how the marriage got it from the word anoki. Anoki Hashem Alakefa. Anoki Pinisi Habayis means I clean out the house, we cover the anoki. But what's the hechrus to say? Why don't you just say, that's a piniti habayis. So this hechrus is questionable. Okay, in the first parak in that he wouldn't need to deny. The Chamorim, the Chamorim, wouldn't need to deny. So the Rishonim ask over here, if the Medrash says that the Gemal of Malach HaMavinu wouldn't enter the house, he stayed all before they took out the Avodah Zarah, that was love and home. And what, he took out the Avodah Zarah and then the Avodah Zarah was out forever? No, he had the Trachim over here. It says at the end of the passage, he had the Trachim all over the house. So how come Yaakov Avinu moves in? And it doesn't say anything about cleaning out the Avodah Zarah. But is the Yehiel based on? Just like that? So is the Yehiel based on? And what about cleaning out the Avodah Zarah? No remnants? So the Rishonim say that he was going for a Shidduch now. And he wanted to know whether the girl is in Ozeilus Avodah Zarah. So that's why he stayed there for a month with the Avodah Zarah. He was prepared to say, no, 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 there it is. And he said, so let's say, he said, let's say sometimes you go to a Catholic hospital, so they have slumim in every room. So you have to refuse to walk into the room because there's a sailor. You go into the room. If you can cover it up, cover it up. If you can't, so you can't. So what can you do? There's no there. It's uncomfortable. So Yankel Bingo was prepared to suffer discomfort in order to test the girl, for another girl, that he was going to ultimately marry. He wanted to see whether they're of the other desire or not. So he stays for a month. And a month, the Rishon said, you can already tell. whether the Rebbe of it is or not. So Laban tells Yaakov, ask me the story, Otto, you can stay by me. The only one has a comment on ask me the story, Otto. His commentary on Bira Yamin, he has. They told it in the Likutim of the Vilna Goyen on Kumish, on this pasuk. The pasuk says that when they were about to appoint Dovra Melech as the king, so they said, Atmeinu b'sareinu atma. And here it has the expression, Atmeinu b'sareinu atma. So what is that supposed to imply? So the Gua says, that the Gemara says, Ashlosh shutzim yesh ba'adam ov is the ima v'hachadosh baruch. In creating the baby, you have three parts. So the Gemara says that when the father comes, more visualizes is that men are hard and women are soft. Like it says, Kaisan Levesh Yaakov, the Tagay Levesh Yaakov. Rashi says from the Chilk of one Koshin to Gidin, Tagay Levesh Yaakov is the men. Kaisan Levesh Yaakov, the Tagay is the women. The Tagay is the women. Kaisan Levesh Yaakov, the Tagay Levesh Yaakov. The Tagay Levesh Yaakov, one Koshin to Gidin. So the Chachamim always picture it like that. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be soft, but the Chachamim picture is if the women are always soft and the men are hard. So if you want to say that the father and the mother endowed the children with different parts of the body, what would you say comes from whom? So the mother's other bones, their heart, that comes from the father. And the flesh, that comes from the mother, because the flesh is all. So the atmi of the story, the etzem comes from the father, and the bosa comes from the mother. That's what the mother says. So the Gemara brings claims that this expression, atmi of story otro, or atmein of sereno otro, what they said to Zohar Amar, means that we are related both in Sarah and Sarahim. We're mishpacha both from the father and the mother. What's the significance? So he says, by Dovra Melech, the Gemara says in Yivam, this is the whole temple. When they were discussing whether Dovra Melech is Roy to be a Melech, so the issue was, well, what Roy to be a Melech? He's not even Roy, what was the call? He's a descendant of Yutam Raviyah. And the Torah says, Mayavai Mayavai Bikalashem. You're not permitted to marry anyone who's a descendant from the Mayavai. Until they said over the din that my love is like my love is, and Amon is like Amon is, and Ruth Amalia was a female, a woman, so the whole din didn't apply. So that was a pshat. And they were, that's how the women were going. That was a pshat. They were discussing, is he permitted to be the king? So Allah says, you can't have a chacha pasma lach amalach, no sukha lach alach yishnafa shalach yichadim. You have to point that person, you can't have a chacha, you look for shabach chacha, you have to be, mitzad ovid and mitzad ima, you have to be a miyukas yishnei abdodim. So, so that's what the Bnei Yisrael said, Atmein of Tzareinu Ato. When they appointed him in the Melech, they said, yes. The father starts and runs out all the way back, everything is okay. Even the Yichus that he had from Yerusha Mayavira is acceptable because Allah says that Mayavir is like Mayavir. So there's only one on Diva Yonim, and I'm talking to comments like that, and he says that he thinks that that's what it probably means over here as well. That Yaakov Avinu was related to Laban both from his father's side and from his mother. Yaakov Avinu was the grandson of Avram Avinu who came from Aram Naran, from that whole family. And Yaakov Avinu's mother was the sister of Laban. So that's what he said. The mishpacha, double mishpacha, mitzad hor and mitzad rein. Ask me the story also. Torah described that Rachel was very attractive. Rachel Haithi is not fairly fascinated. Torah described how pretty Rivka was and Zorah Imena was. What's the significance of describing how pretty they were? Zorah and Rivka described how pretty they were in order to explain why there was a problem with Pharaoh, why he had to say Achaiti, even Achaiti. Because he realized she was pretty, so he's going to take away a pretty girl. But over here by Rachel, I mean, you don't really see that it leads up to any problems. I mean, it's just to explain why he picked Rachel as opposed to Leah. The Medrash says that's not why he picked Rachel. He picked Rachel because she was younger. He didn't want his brother to have any time in. Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash. So everybody says that Yankov and Rachel, Yankov, that Yitzchak and Rivka had two children, an older and a younger. And Laban had two daughters, an older and a younger. So everybody would say that the older daughter, Leah, is probably going to marry the older son, Esav, and the younger one, Rachel, is probably going to marry Yaakov. So Medrash says that's why he picked on Rachel. He didn't want to get into a fight, enough trouble with his brother. He wants to kill him. He's going to kill him that he stole his girlfriend. So he doesn't want to take Leah. He says he wants to marry Rachel. Then later on, his father-in-law gives him over the head. Leah also came to Carmelo, Rachel, Tafsiros, Nafsiro. That's why he gave him, he meant to save her, Yankov. He meant to save her. He didn't want to get into a machlokes with his brother. And then he says, Zatra Eni Leah Rakosh, because she was always crying over her lot. Everybody would say that she's going to marry the Russia April. She didn't want to marry April. That's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara. So what's the significance of mentioning that she was so pretty? So I think in the Fidushi Seifa, in the Derech Tikudecha, by a Fidushi Mel, it's not a Fidushi Red, by a Fidushi Mel, the Dina Zerah, again, it's like a Seifa Mitzvah. You look at the different Mitzvahs. It gives you some of the Dinim and some of the Kavonis and some of the Fidushi Al Office in connection with each one. So he speaks about he's a mitzvah. He says, you have to have a talisman, you have to have a tilinoyim, you have to have a sefer Torah, you have to have a kolach of a shirayim, and everything has to be pretty. Because he's a mitzvah to get married, so you should pick a pretty girl. He found he's a mitzvah. Some people pick a pretty girl for other reasons. Pick a pretty girl because they fall in love with the look. But that's not what the Medrash says over here. But the significance of saying that she was pretty was, and then he says the same is true regarding the other Imrahis as well, that Sarah and Rivka and Rachel, all three are described as pretty to show that the others were midrashic and he didn't miss them. It's also a different zera from the Dovah Gona, from others as well on this topic. The prophet Shekhar Hashem Hevel Ayotri, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitzitzalo. What do you praise a woman about her beauty and her look? The Shekhar and Hevel. Supposed to praise a woman about her Yiras Shamayim. So how come the prophet praises her the fact that she was a Pasur, Pasmar? That's what the Goyin and other Achrayim are like. This appears in a different story. A few Achrayim say that that's not the pshat in the prophet. You mean Shekhar Achayim the Hevel Ayotri. If that's all the girl has is good looks. That's what a lot of boys are just looking for, good looks. Even if she's stupid like anything, just looking for good looks. Looking for money. Forget about the looks. They're looking for looks and money, forget about the brains. They don't care about the brains. They want brains also, but they don't look for Yiras Hashamayim. So that's terrible. The prophet says, Shekhar Achayim the Hevel Ayotri. That's terrible. Isha Yiras Hashem, if the girl is a valet Yiras Hashamayim, he could follow the chayim of the Yaiti. Then you praise the girl over the fact that she's attractive also. It's a milah. Not nothing. Sir doesn't mean to say that good looks in a woman or in a man is handsome, doesn't mean that it's nothing. It is a wonderful milah, but if that's the only milah that the person has, and the person is lacking Yiras Hashamayim, that is Shekhar and Hevel. If the person has Isha Yiras Hashem, he could follow the chayim of the Yaiti. So that's what the prophet means to say over here. That Rachel was praised over the fact that she was very attractive because she had Yiras Hashamayim. He tested her up for the month that he was there with the Avodah Zarah all together in the apartment, and she was not worshiping the Avodah Zarah. So he was happy over the fact that she was good looking. So he throws a party. Vayashat Lavanus Kalanshi Ambakam Vayas Mishter. You see that there's an Indian to make a Simchas Chasana. There's an Indian of Simcha Bishat Chasana. It happens that they did it anyway. What does the Torah record that for? What does the Torah have to write that he made the party for? So we know that there is an Indian of Simchas Chasana Chav. There's an Indian of Sudas Mishter. The Torah recorded this to apply to us, and we're supposed to do that also. And then it says, Mali Shwazos, the Nisim Lechol Gam Nezos. So the Yerushalmi says, why did you have to wait after you realize that he fell in, that it's the wrong girl? So Lavan tells him, wait till the end of the week is up, and then we'll give you the other life. Why did you have to wait till the end of the week? Because of the celebration, from our Nishte, making Shev Brachas, or whatever. They were celebrating for 7 days. So we know that the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi that this is a Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a Dinda, right? The Yerushalmi quoted by the Rambam says that Shivas in Avelos as well as Shivas in Amishta were both instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Where did he say the Chumash that it was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu? It just says, Vayas, Le'ovik, Eivel, Shivas Yomi. It says that if the Yankov Dina dies, the Yosef was in the state of mourning for 7 days. And here it says, Malish Vozot, and Yisrael Lechol Gamazot, wait till the end of the 7 days. That's what the Yishalmi understood as Hakonat Moshe Rabbeinu. When it says something in the Chumash that you have to do this, you have to do that, but that means that the Baruch Shalom is telling us you have to do that. When it's just written, when a story is written, and it's not really so significant for historical purposes, that they were celebrating for 7 days, and that they were in a state of mourning for 7 days, and Yankov Dina died, what's the significance? So it must be that it has some halachic ramifications. But it doesn't say the Loshon Tzibui. So that's what the Yerushalmi understood, that this is recorded in the Chumash to be Meramis the Takonas Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a din d'oraita, it's a din d'rabbanan, but it already existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Yerushalmi derived to the principle of Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha from that process. Here it says, because the Yerushalmi, the first paragraph of my talk, it says, you're not permitted to get married on Yom Tov Chalamoid. You're not permitted to get married on Shabbos. That's only the Rabban, the Rish, and the Yichtov. That's Nesach and Memcha. But you're not allowed to get married on Chalamoid. That's a din d'oraita. What kind of din d'oraita? So Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha. On Shabbos, there is no fear of Simcha. It can be in violation of Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha on Shabbos. Yeah, here is a big fuss in the neighborhood. Kissinger married and shik the wife on Shabbos. No, ain't the Dushan talks to him. Sonny wasn't over on the Gerish and the Yichter. he wouldn't have married on Yom Tov, of course. But they married him for the Dushan on Shabbos. It's only the Rabban. He used to be a member of Greater Community. They had his name up to have, in the shul, Ada Yamazer, to have a list of all of the men who were in the army during the Second World War. They had Henry Kissinger, they had all of the members of the shul who were in the service of the government. The Babli learns that from a different person, any other Simcha, the Simcha, from a different locker, the Tamach to the Chagecha, the Lord of Yishtecha, that you have to concentrate on the Simcha, the answer is not that word. Not divert your mind to concentrate on the Simchas Chas and the Kalim. But the Yerushalmi runs out from this pasuk. Malish Rozar, Mitzvah Lechol Gamazah, first wait for the 7 days of Rav. And then you can marry the other girl. Big question, Tosfos and the Rishayim discussed it. When do you apply Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha? Let's say it turns out that there's a brit on Yom Tov. You can't have a party. You can't throw a party for the brit. It's a violation of Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha. With his money, you have no choice, basically. You have to observe. You can't say, I'm not going to observe Yom Tov. You have to observe the meal with his money. You have to. And even the shred is mana. The first available opportunity, you have to observe it. But then you have no choice. What about Tikkun HaBen? Tikkun HaBen, you do with the first available man on the Yom Laman Aleph, that's Takadin, that you have to do it. He's my duty. Also, a question. So, just discussing, how come you're allowed to throw a big party for the Tikkun HaBen on Chalamoy, on Yom Tov Chalamoy, whatever? Also, you have no choice. It's mana kavua. Allah says you have to observe Yom Tov. You have to observe Tikkun HaBen. You have no choice. You can't say that's a violation of Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha. But the shaila is when you do have a choice. Who told us to make the siyum of the Torah on Yom Tov Sheni or Shmini Atzeres that we throw a big party Simcha Torah? That's a kasha b'achrayin. Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha. Make your siyum some other time. Let's say the Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is going to decide. They don't want to celebrate whenever they finish. Let's say they finish Daf Yomi on a Tuesday afternoon. But Tuesday afternoon, people are busy. Whatever, so they're going to postpone it a little bit. They're going to have the big celebration tomorrow. So they're going to postpone it till Chalamoz. Chalamoz is the Hashanah of an Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha. So what do we do it all the time? Every single year, we make the Siyum HaTorah on Simchas Torah. So that's a big kasha d'achrayim there. My day, even the Sechem is supposed to hold discussion and it's supposed to all occur. It's not a violation of Ein Bar and Simcha to Simcha. Not to say that itself is exactly the nature of the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, what is Shmini Atzeres all about? The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, enough, you brought 70 korbanos for the Yom Tov, we're not worrying about the whole world. The Jews are always worried about the whole world. We're donating money to the Palestinians. The UPA, United Palestinian, what's it called? UJA. United Palestinian Appeals. They're changing the name now. They're collecting all the money for the Palestinians. We're always raising money for the Shvat in Nairobi and whatever over there. Whenever anything happens anywhere in the world, so the Jews are always the first ones to help out and to donate money and help and everything. But so the Baruch Shalom says, I'm not helping out to myself. We brought already all the 70 Kabbalists. Now stay one day. Kosher Latay Das can stay one day. The Jews should stay another day in Beit HaMikdash. And bring Kabbalah and Shmini Atzeres to demonstrate that there's a unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. In addition to being universal, we like to be very universal, but also we have a lot of particular things also that are unique to us. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants a Yom Tov of the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. That's the Yom Tov of Shmini Atzeres, the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. So that's what some want to say, that that's exactly what the nature of the Yom Tov is all about. Maybe that's not a violation of the Ein Bar and Simcha. Maybe that's time hot. Anyway, it's a big issue. When do you apply any avitim from the sin from when not? But it's a real sin. The Yerushalmi runs it out in this part. The Ramam Itanu has a comment on this expression, Malei Shavu Azot. We spoke a little bit about Mikta Yom Kippur, so we mentioned it. There is a din, a mikvah yom kippur. The original marker appears by Zavon Zavon, that on the seventh day they can be table in the morning. Tilosim, Kol Chalasidus, Tilosim by Yom. Why? Based on the principle, they have to make the dikis each one of the 7 days. The 7 days make it the dikis, they say mikvah yom kippur. They don't have to wait till the end of the seventh day and be table by Laila. So the Gemara applies the principle of mikvah yom kippur to Avein Lusolstra and to Cherem and to Nazir, even though you don't have Psukim all over, you only have the passage by the Zogon, by the Zav and the Zogon. So Achatitta, Achamaitan, Titta, that you say Mikveh and Tikkuno. So if it applies all over, maybe you should apply also to the Shivatim and Mishta of the Chosim, Amalo. So it's Amalo. The unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. It's not a calendaric date. The Malos are superimposed on the calendar. So the Ramani Tano came up with this and thought that you only apply Mitzvah Kuloi to sad things that have negative connotations, like Avelis and Tumas. We want to shake off the Tumas as early as possible. We want to get rid of the Avelis. But by happy things, he asked the Kasha, why don't you say Mitzvah Kuloi by Shabbat and Yom Kippur? The Kasha says that that's not a good Kasha because it's not a Malos, that's a calendaric day. Mitzvah Kuloi only applies when it's a Malos. A unit of days superimposed on the calendar. But that's the kasha that he's questioning, that he's talking about. So to answer that kasha, he says that whenever it's a Dabash or Kedusha, whenever it's a Dabash or Simcha, you don't want to get rid of it. Other Rabbi, you want to make Tosefta Shabbos, you want to extend it. So how can you do Fakir? You want to lop off the end of the last day, you want to chop it up by saying extend to Kula. So he says that that's the mashmoz of the prophet. Male Shavuot, finish up fully. The full 7 days, we don't allow it to enter Kula. And the Lord said, she was Yamishka. That's the question. Rabbi Yitzchak Fendel in his commentary on Nazir Megillah, Yen Hashash quotes this from the Ramam Itanu, and he says it's highly questionable because the prophet describes the Nazir as Kaddish Yiyah. The Abu Paras HaRosh, and the Nazir has Kedushas Nazirus. And still the Gemara says the Pharisee that you do apply Mikvah Kukula by the Nazir. So if it applies there, why shouldn't it apply over here also? Maybe it does apply. Maybe it does apply. When I got married to the last day of Shiva in Amishka, there was a Levi in the Shiva where I play up yesterday. This room was dedicated by his children. So I came to the Shiva, and it was either a Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't remember. So Rav Soloveitchik said a Shiva, but the Levi was in the auditorium, and then the Rav was saying a Shiva. I went to the Shiva. And after Shiva, David Mincha. So I raised the question whether we should say Tachman or not, because I was in the middle of Shiva in Amishka. Then maybe you send me to Kukula. Maybe she said it's then Kula. But I was always, she said at that time that the Simcha Sachas means that Chasim is Mechuyif to be Mitameach his wife. So what do you mean, Mikvei and Kukula? You have to ask the wife whether she's Mechuyif. You thought that not so easy to say Mikvei and Kukula. If you're Meshuvah to someone else, so you can't just hack up on your own. You ask the Kala whether she's Mechuyif. Uh-huh. So we didn't say Kala. But it's a question. It's a question. That's what the Ramam Itanu claims in this passage, that you don't apply Mikvah to Kula. Rabbi Yehuda Fendel thinks that his argument is not correct. So it's a question, what's like? What's like my law? Rashi on the Pasuk Lamed Beis, Perkot Lamed Beis, quotes from the Gemara Brachos.
Reuven's name represents the idea of Reuven Ma Ben, to me, the Ben family. Look at the difference between my child and my Ben Chami, my brother-in-law, Esav, the son of my father-in-law. That my child had Esav sold the Torah to Yaakov, and then he was angry later on. And my son didn't sell the Torah to Yosef, it was taken away from him. He was punished, and he didn't make a fuss about it later on. Reuben was a nice, laid-back fellow. He was quiet, he didn't make a machlokes, even though the Torah was removed from him. So that's how Chacham understood the name Reuven. Reuven, my name, the name of Ben Chami. So the result is Akasha. Why did the Gemara give a new reason? The Gemara, the prophet says, brother, Tikrishma Reuven, Ki Amra, Ki Ro, Hashem, Li Oni. Yata Yahav Ani Yishin. So it's a favorite in the prophet. It's by all the children the reason for all the men. So why did the Gemara have to give a different reason? The Gemara doesn't give a different reason to any of the other children, only by Reuven. So it's like the other has a reason. It says by Reuven also. So they quote the famous comment in the name of the Zohar Gaon, that by all of the other children, it says the reason first, and then it gives a name. Yishama Hashem Kisnu Amrachi Vatikrish Mashina. Then it says Hapam Yilav Yishi Elai Hakein Koreshmo Levi Hapam Yilav Hashem Hakein Koreshmo Yehuda. Every time it gives the reason first, and then it gives the name. Reuven is the only one exception to the rule, that it gives the name, and then it gives the reason. Vatikrishmo Reuven Ki Amrachi Rashem Diyani. So the Zohar Gaon says that it must have been, that's what the Chachamim had a mashmash. That Tikrishma Reuven, she gave him a name Reuven for some reason that already existed before. Then Ki Amra was another reason. That's Tam Nosa. But that Tikrishma Reuven because of some reason that preceded it. But then the Zohar Gaon has a comment on a Mishnah Brachos based on this comment on the Tikkun that he thinks that this is what prompted the Chachamim to give this additional kavana. He has commenting on the Mishnah that the Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Brachos tells three stories about Rabbi Gamliel, that his wife died and he bathed right away in the middle of Shiva, and then when he got married he recited Kriya Shema Laila HaRishon. It was at the end of the second era. And when Teddy Abdo died he would keep a level all of Tankumin and all were against Baalotha. It was more explained in each case why it was an exception to the rule. Here on Tez Zayin on the base, it says, Rochas Laila HaRishayim. On Tez Zayin on the Aleph, it says, Maisa B'Rabbi Gamliel Shenotar Isha B'Tara Laila HaRishayim to Yisari Kriyeshma, and the student says, and it's against the Halacha, so he gave him a reason. Then the second story also, Rochas, it says what he did first. It says Rabbi Gamliel got married and he decided to Yashma. Then it says Rochas Laila HaRishon Shemeita Ishto, and then he asked him and he gave the reason. And then it's Shemeita Yavda Kibul Olav Tanchumen. So the Zohar Gaon felt that there's that this slight discrepancy over here. It says Rochas Laila HaRishon Shemeita Ishto. It says what he did, and then it says what the event was, or it says before. Maisa Rabbi Gamliel Shanaz Isha Kol Alav Rishon. It says Rabbi Gamliel, and then it says what he did. And by Teddy Avda, it says that Teddy died. Why doesn't it say Kibul Tanchumin Kishanei Teddy Avda? I don't fully appreciate that. There's a difficulty of it, but the Zohar Gaon thought that there's a discrepancy. If you have three stories in a row, and each time it says Rabbi Gamliel did this when that happened, Rabbi Gamliel did this when that happened, and it says when this happened, Rabbi Gamliel did that. So why doesn't it say the third time also, Rabbi Gamliel did this when that happened? So the Zohar Gaon says, because the Mishnah on each case tells you why it was an exception to the rule. So the first time it was an exception to the rule because Rabbi Gamliel was different from everybody else. Because he doesn't, he's able to be mechaben when he says Kriyat Shema. The second time Rabbi Gamliel was different from everybody else because he was an Ishtinim. And the third time it's not Rabbi Gamliel was different from everybody else. Teri Abdo was different from everybody else. Because Eved Kasher Hoya. He was an Eved Kasher. In each case, in the first two cases, it says Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel first, because that's the key to the whole issue was that Rabbi Gamliel was different from everybody else. In the third case, the reason why he was different was because Teddy was different from everybody else, not that Rabbi Gamliel was different. It doesn't really have anything to do with this story about Reuven, but they quote these together, that the Zohar Gaon said that just like the Chachamim on the bike over here, whether the reason is given first or the name, the Kriyat Hashem appears first. He says over there also, the three Mishnayos in a row give off the clue, mention the clue to the riddle in the opening line of the Mishnah. Yisachar is a big question, how you pronounce the name Yisachar. Some hold that it's supposed to be pronounced Yisachar the whole time Yisachar. Others have a tradition that it's a Kriyat Siv. If I'm not mistaken, it's a Rashi and say Shadiv Ayam, it says like that, it's a Kriyat Siv. You gotta check it out. If it's a Kriyat Siv, then it's a Shaila, how do you write on a Ketuba or on a Get? A Kriyat Siv, you're not supposed to write it according to the way it's written in Tanakh, you're supposed to write it the way the Kriyat, not according to the Kriyat Siv. It's a Din of Kivat Kivat Kivat, it's not a Din of Kivat Gitten, because usually when you write Yisachar, most people write Yisachar with two shins when you sign the name. Some of the Bell's a Rebbe's name, Yisachar Doyle, so he writes Yisachar with one shin, I think. Obviously, you hold those decrees, Steve, and you write your name according to the decree, not according to the decree, he's not writing a Tarak. But two cases of Frank has a shul that how you're supposed to write Yisachar and a Get, or an excuse. He talks about this. And others are laying twice. Every time he says Yisachar, they're laying it twice. They say it's once Yisachar, once Yisachar. I'll have the minute. The first time, they say Yisachar, from then on you say Yisachar, because the first time the Torah says the reason why he was named, given that name, Nathan Alakim Sahari, Yisachar. But they want to stress this fact. And others have a meaning, that's what our Soloveitchik claims, it was the meaning in Balazhin, you know, he had that meaning in his Beit Medrash in Maimonides in Boston, that up until Parshas Pinchas, they lay in Yisachar, or he was laying twice, Yisachar and Yisachar, and after Parshas Pinchas, they only laid it once. My understanding of what happened in Parshas Pinchas, because the Dalai came in Bali Arteis and quotes the Medrash, that Yisachar had a son whom he named Yod. One of his children was named Yod. And then after he gave the baby a name, by the bris, on the eighth day, he came to the realization that Yod is the shame of Eretz Yisrael. So what did he do that for? So the Medrash says that in order to rectify the mistake, in order to correct it, he decided to donate to his son one of his shins. So instead of Yisrael Tzar, he gave him a shin. So the kid's name later on, from Parshas Pinchas on, the kid's name is Yoshu. Instead of Yod, Rashi calls it, that Yod is the same as Yoshu, the same guy. And the Medrash says, Yisachar gave Mashin to his name. He gave the Dazi came and said, he gave Mashin to his name. So that's why there's a meaning that from Parshas Pinchas on, Yelain Yisachar, even though it's written with two shins, Yelain Yisachar, because he gave away the shin to Yashar. And up until Pinchas, Yelain with Yisachar. Different in Hagen. Some have meaning that in the Rashis, Yelain Yisachar, and from Shmoytan, Yelain Yisachar. How's that? And you look at the Torah Shlema, he says all these, you see the Olam HaMikon, this statement says what? The Torah Shlema, this part, and the Olam HaMikon. The Pirish Mel of Nineveh, the name, the state of the name Yisachar, that he was told by the Lubmina Chayda that he was Mishevet Yisachar. We once discussed, and no one knows who Shevet you're from unless you were playing at a lady, then you're from Shevet lady. But the Chayza told him that he's from Shevet Yisrael. So, he's happy to hear that. He told the Sefer, the name is Yisrael. So, there he figures out, from Shevet Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Vahikasha Yodel Rachalas Yosef. When Yosef was born, all of his children were born, he's hanging around by the father-in-law. How long does he have to stay in Chutzlar to find time to move back to Eretz Yisrael? And he waited till he had a child from Rachel, a Hikash, a Yoga, Rachel, a Yoga, a Yoga, a Yoga, now it's time to leave. What's up with now? Why should it be time to leave now? The Rashi quotes in the Medrash, one interpretation, we should know that Tisna Shalaita, they all knew that Yosef is going to be Tisna Shalaita. Oh, lucky at Tisna Shalaita, now he can go back to Eretz Yisrael and have his encounter with Esau. He's not worried anymore. That's one shot. But the Rishonim find that difficult. This Medrash they find difficult because the prophet sounds like this is the story that he's telling to loved ones. He tells loved ones, oh, now that I have a son to fight against Esau, now if you go back to Eretz Yisrael, what Laban is interested in all of this?
So other Rishonim give a different pshat. The Balei HaTeik is still the pshat. A few of the collections, the Balei HaTeik writes his pshat. That Nisamah, he would have wanted to leave before Rachel had a baby, and Nisamah probably wouldn't have let him because he's going to be afraid. He's probably going to get rid of his wife. He's going to divorce her. She has no children. May had all the babies, and then Bilhah and Zilpah had the babies, and Rachel didn't have anything. So finally, Rachel had a baby. So his father-in-law won't be at ease now. He's not going to divorce his wife. He has a child from that wife. So he says, okay, now that all of your children have babies with me, so now you don't have to be afraid, so now I want to move back to Eretz Yisrael. That's how Zvi Tov Rishonim say, al derech hapshat. Rabban chased after Yaakov, Vayibrach Yaakov, he ran away. He didn't want to tell his father-in-law that he's leaving. He figured he was going to give him a hard time. And after they met later on, so Yaakov argues with his father-in-law. He says, I did honest work for you. Among the various things he says, Chekhala, Hideshi Elecha, Amelka Yachatena, Miyadat Yachshenet, Nusriyam, Nusriyam. What it means, how do you translate the word Shreif Alei Heveisi Eilecha? What's the Kiddush Amir? Shreif Alei Heveisi Eilecha. So the Rav Velvola said a pshah based on the Zon Gaon's comment. The Zon Gaon commented on the Tosik in the Shpatim, but it says if you have a Shamachina on the Zon Chayim Shir, you have a Shamachina on the Zon Chayim Shir, you have a Shamachina on the Zon Chayim Shir, you have a Shamachina on the Zon Chayim Shir, you have if a Yavash on the self is only chayin gnei ba'aveda, but it's not chayin on the self, he tells me that it's ripped apart by a wild animal. A lion jumps on the Hashem the self and on that goat. And it's ripped apart by a lion or a tiger or something. So tells me the Yehu aid. How do you translate the word Yehu aid? That is the discussion in the Rishonim. How to translate the Gemara in Balmitzi and the Rishonim talk. Why did he say aid? Why not aid? Aid echad is good. Achurim is good. All discussion in the Gemara Rishonim. So the Gemara Gan and Aderes Eliyahu, and that's how to explain that he thinks that Pshut Hashem Mikra means Yehu aid. He should bring the dead carcass. He should bring the dead body to the Maskid and show him. You see, this is the aid. Look at it. You can see the claws. You can see that it was attacked by a lion. So I'm not looking to say. He learns that that's the Pshut Hashem Mikra, that the Shem Mitzvah has to, in order to pat in the Mitzvah amongst him, if he still has a dead body, he should shut the lion ate it up, so he's not going to bring the lion and open up the lion's belly and show that the goat is eaten up by the lion. But if he has a dead goat, he should bring the goat as an aid, as a testimony that's what really happened, to show that it's true. So Rav Elbele thought, based on that comment, that the Gemara, maybe that's what it means over here. Treifa lei heveisi eilecho. I never brought an animal that was ripped up, that was killed by a lion, by one of the wild animals, to you, and to time it that I should be puzzled. I would always pay for my own pocket. It's the same shot anyway. But he thought that it fits in better in the words according to the comments of the Gemara. The Pasuk describes how Yaakov Avinu, I'll tell you about this, when he tells his wife that he wants to leave, so he says that he worked very honestly and he never cheated on the job. And then when he speaks to Ravan, he repeats the same again. He was a very devoted worker, very devoted laborer. So the Raman is also Steven, so he speaks to him. Yanke Batari, that's what he writes, called Yanke Batari. Once wrote a Batari for the Beit Yitzchak. So the editor tried to touch it up. I quoted this Rambam, Yankov Avinu, so one of the editors didn't like that, so he changed it to Yankov Avinu. They made print it, they never showed me, so I told him that's a direct quotation from the Rambam. That wasn't my boss. He says, Har Yankov Avinu Omar, Har Yitzhak Bar Yom Mahalani Chore V'Kerach Balolo, and he says, Aten Yirachim Ki B'chol Kochi Yavadati Yisadichem. And the Tzimut Lashon has a whole Alish on this. He tears it out, he tears it out in tears. He says, you have to be careful not only to violate the actual Averis, you have to be careful not to violate anything that's not the driving of the Averis. You speak to that worker to cheat on the job.
That's wrong. You take up coffee breaks, etc., and put on a telephone on private things, and they use up all the time that they should be using to do the work for the board. They use up the time on their own personal things. And in the middle, they have to get they have to do overtime. They have to get paid overtime in order to finish the job, because they could have finished the whole job on the time that they were given, but they were allowed. That's our right example. The person has a job, he has to show up on the job. The thing even he has a right to take off. If he doesn't feel up, he has a right to take off. And it's all in sick. He just wants to go to the team of the Dafyanik. So he has a right to call in sick. It depends. If the boss is also from the Dafyanik learners and he wants all of his workers to go to Dafyanik, the boss knows him, he's also wonderful. But the young Dafyanik in the middle of the take off for an hour and a half for lunch because I want to finish my Dafyanik. So don't eat lunch. Take off an hour for your Dafyanik. Don't eat lunch. You want to have lunch with Yinsa, with a Chazarat HaShat, with the Dafyanik. But mom is the Zayla, unless the boss is not master. But if you have a Goyish boss, if you have the city, if you boss the city, no one ever watches, because people always cheat. So that's not right. You work for a hospital, you work for yeshiva, yeshiva university. The people over here, the employee here can get away with everything. There's no one watching. But when you have a big institution, there's nobody watching. So that's why all the expenses keep getting bigger and bigger. That's Kim, with the Southside Zayla. You're supposed to learn from Yankov Avinu to be honest in business. There's a famous comment that everybody quotes in the Golden Zion, but it comes from the Shalom, and I think it comes from before the Shalom also, when Rachel hid the Trophim, and then Lavan was snooping around to try to find his stolen Trophim. And Yankov Avinu says, whoever has the Trophim should die. Yomut. What kind of Yomut? Because of Benet Neragala. If he would have known that Yochel stole, he wouldn't have said Yomus, because that didn't only apply to Bnei Noach. Only Goyim are chayv nisa and gezel. Jews are not chayv nisa. The pasuk says he said, "Emesh etinsa lahecha lo yichye will be chayv nisa." He thought that one of the Goyim had stolen. If he would have realized his right or not. But then when Lavan is snooping around, that's the quote from Akhain that comes. So then when Lavan is snooping around, so she's sitting on the truck. But she's going to stand up, and her father walks into the room. So, well, there are her to stand up and kiss his hand and whatever, and bow down to your father. So, if there are her. So she parentheses, why she's not getting up, so she says, Kiderach Noshim Li. She's a nidah and she can't get up. So, an outright lie. She tells his father an outright lie. So that's what they quote. The Shalom has this, and the woman is on another Mephoshim writing. There's a Mishnah, Masech HaShavu, that says, on the other Kiva, that Abu Ruzar and Metamik in Nidah. The din that an idol, a davar shel avodah zarah, is the time to meet us. And the prophet says, "Tizgin to my davar." That you should throw away the avodah zarah like a nida. You should be mitzrachik from avodah zarah like a nida. So that's what they say. That when she said "Barach Nashim Li," she really didn't mean to tell a lie. She said, "I have the avodah zarah here," and she said it in Talmudic language. She said, "I have a nida over here." So she didn't mean I'm the nida. She's sitting on the chair, and that's the nida. Her father understood it in a different way. So that's the way he understood it. But she didn't really tell a lie. That's how they commented on that. So what do we mean by Masumri? Do what? So what's the explanation why she doesn't understand that way? She never finished the sentence. Okay. She never finished the sentence. She just said, "I'm a woman." Doesn't mean anything.
The Rambam says, considered one language, right? Yeah, half of the Gesetz is written in Hebrew, half is written in English. So you write the names in English, right? The rest of the Gesetz in Hebrew and Aramaic. So that doesn't blend in, so that's a machlokes. So the Gesetz will be kosher, and we would be machmer on that. But the Achronim pointed out that you have Yigar Sahadusa. In the middle of the Fumish, you have Yigar Sahadusa. In the Vesabrach, you have also in the universe, the word also.
is an Aramaic word. It's either Aramaic and Hebrew blended. The stock of the Ramah are stayed in the foolish and the foolish. The Hebrew and Aramaic can blend it. Other languages we don't know whether they blend it. So the Ramah is Machmer like the Rambam, but other languages don't blend it. The Nohem Shefi. The Hebrew and Aramaic, they're stayed the foolish. Mm-hmm. These words Asla and Yasadus never became a Hebrew word. So Tafos is now a Hebrew word. These remain now and then.
I guess so.
The parasha concludes that the Machanayim, Rashi says, the two Machanayim, so Malachim, so when Yankel Adina was leaving Eretz Yisrael, it was going to be less Hashgacha Prophets. Now that it's come back, it's going to be more Hashgacha Prophets, so that Malachi Chutzla went back to heaven, and now the Malachi Eretz Yisrael came down. That's Machanayim Elikim Zeh. Machanayim Elikim Zeh refers to the Malachim switching of the gods. What time is
Chatzot?
Yeah, now there's a wedding on Sunday. Oh, there's a wedding on Sunday. That's a good thing to remind me, yeah. If I go to the wedding, what time do you need to the wedding? 12 o'clock.